We're going to get into the Word of God today. Will you pray with me? Lord, we just love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for this time of worship, just time of fellowship, having a good time with one another. And Lord, as I bring the Word, I just pray that you would make it come alive. We just love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Now, my wife and I had an encounter once with a guy that we only knew by his first name. But the effect that he had on my wife and I through multiple acts of kindness has lasted for 37 years. And we only know him as Ty, okay? And our story begins with our honeymoon. We were on our way from Albany, Oregon to San Luis Obispo, California. And then we were going to go on to Disneyland. And well, we never made it to Disneyland because something took place. And it all started when my 1972 Toyota Celica, Teresa used to call it a rust color because it was all rusted. That's what kind of shape that was in. So it began acting up outside of Dunnigan, California on I-5. Y'all know where Dunnigan is if you're heading south on I-5. Okay. So we had to spend the night there in Dunnigan. And when we took the car to a gas station for someone to take a look at it, because there was no place else to take it, I didn't know anything about cars. I'm not a whiz like people like Ben Toma over here. But I took it to this gas station. This guy just kind of comes walking up, kind of a lazy-looking guy, if I could just say that. And I started it up, and I go, "What do you think?" And he goes, "Sounds good to me." So we got in the car and took off. So we drove about 60 miles and on I-80 toward the coast, and we ran the car till it just quit. Everything just kind of went, boo, and that was the end. So it was pouring down rain, believe it or not, in California. They say it never rains in California, but don't they warn you? It pours. How many of you know that song? Probably not very many. So I must say I was a stressed-out wreck. We were on a busy highway, and growing up in Oregon, and I grew up in the country, I thought that people who lived in California were a bunch of criminals and thieves. That was my mindset. Okay, and I'm not kidding. Teresa and I, we walked down a city in California once, and as we walked, I had my arm around her with my hand around her purse to make sure no one stole it. That was my mindset. So we were on a busy highway, and so I walked out to the edge of the road, soaking wet, just pouring rain. I just couldn't believe it. And completely stressed out, stuck my thumb out trying to hitch a ride. So fairly quickly, a small pickup, probably a Ford Ranger now that I think about it, it pulls over. And I walk over to this little baby truck, and the driver was a young guy in his mid-20s, had a big smile on his face. And he said, "Hey, do you need some help?" I said, "Yes." And I looked at him, and I'm thinking, this guy's going to try to rip us off. So after speaking with him, I go back to the car where Teresa actually was laughing at me because she knew how stressed out I was. I was soaking wet, you know, trying to hitch a ride. I'd only done that one other time in my life. And so I go, "This guy wants to tow us, and he's just too nice. I'm really suspicious." And she says, "If the guy wants to help us, let him." All right, so I went back. So he proceeds to tie our car to this little truck with a short piece of rope. And when I say a short piece of rope, I mean I was at the most 5 feet behind this guy, okay, on a highway, pouring rain. So we take off. We're on the side of the road going about 55. He doesn't go onto the actual road. We're on the shoulder, 55, 5 feet behind him. If he puts his brakes on, I hit him. So I am completely stressed out, completely full of fear. I can remember just going, Jesus, 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 just yelling the name of Jesus down the road. So we get about 20 miles down to Fairfield. And so I see him turn his blinker on. At least I have a clue what's happening, because you know we don't have any cell phones then. And so we turn off into Fairfield, and I'm thinking, if we, the first stoplight we're at, I'm going to hit him. You know, if it's red. Well, we go through several stoplights. They're all green. I don't have to stop one time. He takes us to a where they fix your car, which would be commonly known as. This is what I get for not following my notes, you know. So auto repair shop, you might call it. Yes. Auto repair. So we got an estimate for the car. And so then Ty proceeds to drive us to his apartment. I remember it was, seemed like it was upstairs. And he makes us some cocoa, Ty does. He knows we're on our honeymoon and really nice. And he offered to lend us his truck. He doesn't even know us. It's the only vehicle he's got. We're like, no, I'm not going to take your truck. So he then drops us off at a hotel. And then the hotel was near a mall. I remember walking around the mall. And then he drives back and he takes us out to dinner. And we were going to get his dinner, of course, for all that he was doing for us. But he, before we could even sit down, he had it all fixed so that he buys us dinner. And he takes us back to our hotel, then picks us up the next morning to get our car. So when we try to get our car, the estimate the guy had given us had doubled. And Ty steps in. Now, I'm like a young guy. I really don't have that many experiences with things like this. Today, I would be like, oh, no, you don't. But not then. I was like, well, I guess he knows what he's doing. And Ty said, no, these guys are on their honeymoon. You're not going to charge them a penny more than you told them. So he didn't. So, yeah. So Teresa and I pay for the vehicle. It's all done. We turn around. Ty is gone. And I don't mean gone for 20 minutes and coming back. I mean, we never saw him again. We didn't know his number. Don't know his last name. All these years, all we know is this guy, Ty, that helped us. Now, some of you might think, well, that could have been an angel. But I'm just going to tell you this. He did cuss once. Now, I don't know. Maybe that's a thing. I don't know. But Ty showed us something that we'll never forget. He showed us what kindness really looks like. And you know, 37 years later, I mean, every year, sometime during the year, this comes up. These 2 days where this guy showed us kindness has lasted all this time. And it amazes me sometimes. Kindness is powerful and can be long-lasting. Now, I'm going to make the case today that it's going to be through kindness that this church, Bethel Church, is going to see many people saved and discipled. You may not have looked at it that way before, but it's going to be through kindness. Because kindness isn't weak. As a matter of fact, kindness is a powerful word, a very powerful word. So let's look at the meaning of kindness in the dictionary. It's the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Okay? But really, it means so much more. Kindness can mean different things to different people, be it through empathy, acceptance, kind gestures, thoughtfulness, praying for people. The possibilities are endless. It might look like being helpful or showing empathy. It may mean doing nice things without expecting nice things in return. But it's much more than being nice. Now, If a retail clerk or a waitress or a waiter at a restaurant is nice to me, boy, I really appreciate that. And if my wife's with me, I will inevitably turn to her and say, I love nice people. And she always laughs and says, everybody likes nice people. All right. But I really do. But as good as being nice is, kindness goes beyond merely being nice. So think about it. Would you prefer people to describe you as nice or kind? Probably kind. You know, there can be, you know, maybe a lack of sincerity in just being nice. But being kind is doing intentional, voluntary acts of kindness. Not only when it's easy to be kind, but when it's hard to be kind. And what do you know? Kindness is all through the Bible. And we're going to take a look at that. And no one showed kindness better than Jesus Christ himself. And in the weeks to come, mostly on Wednesday nights, we'll have Pastor Todd with us for a few weeks after this. But Wednesday nights, we're going to be speaking on kindness as we gather for praise and prayer and looking at different ways that Jesus showed kindness. And if you don't come on Wednesdays, but you could, I just want to encourage you to come. It's an absolute blessing. At least it is to me. And so encourage you to come on Wednesdays at 7. And so Matthew chapter 8, I'm going to start in verse 1. When he came, followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. So because of the, I guess the word is communicability, you could catch leprosy pretty easy. That's basically what that means. Because of that, lepers had been considered outcasts in Jesus' time. They had lived separately and were seen as unclean and untouchable. It was also considered a picture of sin, which I'm sure was something that played deep into their mindset as Jewish people. When they thought of a leper, they just stayed away for several reasons. Now, Jesus, taking pity on the leper, he healed him of his disease, and he didn't see the man as a leper. And this is what's crucial for us today. He didn't see the man as a leper. He saw him as a human being. Okay? He was sick, and he needed help. And it also reveals how Jesus can heal us of sin. So through this, Jesus taught us that kindness should go beyond social stereotypes. And there are miracles in chapter 8 that reveal that Jesus shows kindness and compassion on the ritually outcast. We just heard about the leper. There's also a story about a Roman centurion who was probably a Gentile, another person that Jewish people would stay away from. And Jesus heals this centurion's servant. So we need to look at where people are coming from and understand their circumstances. And only then can we develop genuine compassion. Now, how many of you have seen the recent movie, Jesus Revolution? How many of you have seen that? Lots of you. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to watch it. It's well done, well acted, and I was inspired by it, to be quite honest. And in that movie, which describes real events in history, we find people like Pastor Chuck Smith from Calvary Chapel. He was played by Kelsey Grammer, who, by the way, just did a fantastic job, of course. And he took in the hippies of that generation. Now, remember, you know, today, you know, we think of hippies and we think, just a free spirit, you know. Well, back then, hippies were all about several things, free sex, drugs of all kinds. Many didn't shower regularly. Anti-government, anti-military. They had wild, colorful clothing. You know, the guys oftentimes had long hair, which was kind of a big deal back then. I wish I still had my long hair, by the way. But it didn't look anything like people who were in churches thought that people should look like. And they didn't act anything like they thought people should look like who were coming into a church. Well, God decided to do something incredible back then, as many of you know. And he caused an incredible revival among young people, many of them in this whole hippie culture. And they called it the Jesus Movement. And Jesus did the same thing in his day on this earth, as we just read. He didn't look at people with a stereotypical outlook. He looked at them as people that needed God. Now, my wife and I recently sat with a couple who are pastors in Central California. They minister to many people that we would consider extremely troubled. People, some of them that would walk into here, and I'm not saying that you would ostracize them or anything, but you'd give a second look. You know, they just look different. And so people from gangs, people that are drug addicts, homosexuals, transsexuals, Pastor Mark and his wife, they said that the LGBTQ people are this generation's hippies, which is an interesting statement. Now, I've been really challenged by that statement. I've thought a lot about it. And I'm going to say this today. I'm going to say that the example of kindness that Jesus showed extended to all people. His kindness extended to all people. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. I know this is a little bit difficult today, wrapping your head around this. So if you could prayerfully kind of listen to the next few things I say. You know, Jesus was hardest on the religious people who judged others freely, okay? Now, in the words of Mother Teresa, if you judge people, you have no time to love them, which is another interesting thought. So I could talk about this subject of LGBTQ for quite some time. There's a lot of sides to this subject, and I know that. But I have just a few final thoughts. Please understand me. I'm not talking about tolerance the way that the world describes tolerance in these days, which basically says whatever you want to do, do it. Find your own truth, do it. And we should all just support whatever anything anybody wants to do. And there's just such deception in that kind of thinking. Okay, which if I had time, I would go into all of that. But there is truth. Truth is real, and sin is real. And there are times that we need to stand up for righteousness in our days. And may I say that it is also an act of kindness when we do that, when it's done in love. Standing up for righteousness. And in these days where everything's flipped over on its head, there are definitely times for that, okay? Because you're caring about what the results of sin can do to people. You're caring about people. For example, if I see that my friend's alcoholism is taking him down a path that will lead him to destruction, destroy his family, and will affect the lives of many people around him, and I don't say anything to him about it, I don't ever challenge him on it just because he's my friend. I like him. I don't want to rock the boat. This is what he has chosen to do. If he thinks it's his truth or whatever it is, that's not being kind. I'm not being a true friend. If I see someone making lifestyle choices that I know will lead to, at the very least, extreme heartache for them and for many other people around them, no matter what the media is trying to tell me, right? Amen? No matter what the media is trying to tell you. And I don't try to help them out of tolerance for their choice. Is that being kind? I don't think so. But being kind looks a lot of different ways. And I am so glad that many people were kind to me at one time. I was, as most of you know, when I was living a wild rock and roll party lifestyle with a filthy mouth, I was proud and cocky as could be. I really was. If someone wouldn't have shown me kindness and chose to look past what they saw, because I didn't look like most people in church. You know, at the time, I used to wear these white big bell bottoms, you know, that kind of flared out like that, and these silk shirts that I'd unbuttoned to here, and my long hair. And yes. Well, I knew people who looked past that, and they didn't look anything like me. These basketball players I would play against in this league I was in, there was one team that was a church league team. And for some reason, they would talk to me after the game. And I thought, well, this is weird. But they were super nice. And then I had a next-door neighbor I've mentioned before was a youth pastor. I don't know his name. He lived next door. He would talk to me. Or Jeff Swaim, who's been with Convoy of Hope all these years, he was the youth pastor at the time, and he reached out to me. And I might not even be alive today, let alone serving Jesus, if people hadn't looked past how I looked and my attitudes, and they saw me as a human being who needed help, which I did. And they did reach out to me. So I just have three points for you today that will go by pretty fast. And the first one is this, is that kindness starts with God. Kindness starts with God because God is kind. In Titus chapter 3, it says, we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. And verse 4 says this. This is so awesome. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. It wasn't about anything that we did. It's because he was kind. And with his kindness, he saw through all of our sin. He saw through all of our guilt, all of the terrible things that we were doing. He looked past that and saw his creation hurting and needing help. That's our God. That's who he is. He chose to do something kind. In fact, it's the kindest act ever shown. The act of forgiveness when we didn't deserve it. The act of dying a tragic, horrible, painful death on a cross. We could be saved from sin. And that's the ultimate act of kindness. Goodness and loving kindness. God possesses these qualities. And it's out of these qualities that we are saved. And the second thing is that we are called to be kind. So God is kind, yes, but we're called to also be kind. Ephesians 4:32, we read earlier, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you. Be Jesus to someone today and every day. Make him your role model and kindness and forgiveness your lifestyle. Kindness and forgiveness your lifestyle. And some of you might think, if you're being honest with yourself, I'm selfish. Maybe some of you are thinking that. I'm pretty selfish. I don't know how I can change that much to really be kind on a regular basis. I mean, how quickly do we get caught in something where, you know, somebody on the road drives erratically and then all of a sudden we're like, what are you doing? You know, our kindness gets shot right out the window. But we need to take it one step at a time. We need to repent to God of our selfishness, our pride, ask him to change our heart. Now, this is what changed my life, so I'm going to share it with you. What changed my life was the Word of God. And you think, well, of course, of course. But, I mean, I took it really seriously so that I knew how I was. I knew how I thought, my thought process in all kinds of ways. Not everything could I share with in front of you. But I knew that. And I was confronted with the righteousness of God. And the only way that I changed was through the Word of God. Now, it was every day. Every day. And I'm not saying I read chapters and chapters at one time. Maybe sometimes I did. But usually it was just a small portion, and I would just think about it and meditate on it. It changed my life. Absolutely. And it will change your life. If you're thinking, I need to be a kinder person, that's how you're going to do it. That's one of the main ways you're going to do it. Taking the time to pray for somebody is a kindly act. If you notice someone hurting, if you can pray for them. There are so many ways to be kind. I'm going to mention more in just a minute. But number three, I use this little phrase I thought of. Kindness catches. Kindness catches. It's Proverbs 12:25 says this. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. We know that. Anxiety? I don't like anxiety. Weighs me down. But a good word makes him glad. And it's amazing what just a kind word can do for somebody. Has someone ever done anything or said something to you that really encouraged you, and with almost without thinking about it, you turned and did something nice for someone else? Well, that's what happens when we're kind to people. What's that phrase? Random acts of kindness, you know? Well, there's truth to that. There's truth to that, and passing it forward, how does that go? Paying it forward, that's it. I mean, it's doesn't say it in those words in the Bible, but it's true. Kindness catches. It can be caught by others. It can start a chain reaction. It's a wave that keeps on rolling. And all it needs is one person to start it. One small act can cause a ripple effect that affects an entire community. Now, if you find yourself wanting to correct people all the time, complaining about people all the time, complaining about situations that you're in, complaining about what other people have done or are doing, this person's decision, I'm just going to ask you to stop. Stop and ask God to help you be like Jesus. Now, this is going to go against your flesh, as the Bible calls it. It's going to go against that. And so you're just going to have to stop and ask God to help you. Help me to be like Jesus. And that means being kind. Because being a complainer does not make a difference. Your kindness will make a difference. Especially when it's hard to be kind. Being kind is powerful. Kindness can change. If in your marriage you're doing a lot of arguing, I just want to tell you something. I don't care how right you are. I've been married 37 years and I haven't been right once. Just so. And I'm kind all the time. Oh my goodness. But kindness can change your marriage. If you're doing a lot of arguing, being kind when it's hard will change your marriage. Kindness can change your family. Kindness can change our church. Fellowship, discipleship, outreach. Kindness in everything that we do with that attitude. Going out of your way. You know, kindness is a verb. It's reaching out. It's doing something that may not be easy for you. Maybe you don't have time to be kind to somebody, but you do it anyway. That's when it really makes a difference. And I'll tell you what, when somebody's really kind to me, I know it. And you know it. It's huge. Kindness is absolutely huge and powerful. Romans 2:4 says this. Or do you show contempt? This is talking about people that are judging other people. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? The kindness of God isn't just to be nice to us because he loves us. It's to lead us to repentance so that we'll have a better life. We'll have a better future. That's why God is kind. He's kind to us. And I'll tell you what, when we're kind and it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, that's powerful. Now, may all of our ministries and outreach efforts be performed with kindness. Because, as I read, the kindness of God leads to repentance or salvation. So what does biblical kindness look like? Well, it may look like what Pastor Chuck did there, where he washed all those young people's feet. Yeah. That's something. Well, washing someone's feet may look like something as simple as a smile. I got to tell you, I can't tell you how many times in my life I'm walking with my wife and people are just smiling at me. And I'm like, wow, do they go to my church? Or are they smiling at me? And all of a sudden, it takes me just a second, and it dawns on me. I look at my wife. She's got this big grin on her face as people are walking by. And they're not smiling at me because of me. It's because of her. Well, smiling, for some of you, is not so easy. Some of you are awesome smilers, and I love it. But I know I have to, like, physically sometimes think about actually smiling. It's just but it's important, and it makes a difference in people's lives. Things like thinking about holding the door for people, or you see people that are struggling a little bit, being nice to them, going out of your way to help them, whatever their case. Paying people honest compliments. You see somebody doing something good, or you know, you just, if you think about somebody in a positive way, don't just keep it to yourself. Tell them. Encourage them. Show genuine interest in somebody's life. I want to challenge you with something. If somebody's talking to you, now I'm guilty of this sometimes. I try not to be. But if somebody's talking to you, give them your attention. Now, of course, when I say this, I'm thinking of myself. And oftentimes, I'm looking around at other people in the congregation to see if somebody needs to be reached out to. So if I ever do that, that's what I'm doing. But really, if somebody's talking to you, give them your attention. Listen to what they have to say. And ask them about them. Imagine that. If you're having a hard time making friends, pay attention to people. Ask them a question about them. How was their week? What do you like to do? What are your hobbies? How's your job? Somebody new in church. How did you end up here? Do you know somebody here? Just ask questions. You know, most people like to talk about themselves. Just the way it is. Maybe send handwritten cards. A letter to someone. How many times have you thought about somebody and you don't do anything? You thought, oh, well, I remember that person. I can remember what a difference they made in my life. I saw somebody doing something really cool. Write them a quick card. Give an extra tip. Ooh, this is a controversial one. Tipping has become outrageously crazy. It's become expected. But I do want to say this. I did work in the food industry for a while, so I've been on that side of things. And so if somebody gives you really good service or something, I just want to encourage you to tip them. I just think it's a good thing. It shows kindness. Now, you may have your own thoughts about tipping, but I just do want to say, just remember being generous, because we're supposed to be generous people. Amen? Amen. Yeah. So say thank you to people and mean it. Offer heartfelt apologies. That's another thing. Have a tender heart. There's so many ways that we can show kindness to one another in our church and kindness to people outside of our church building. In a few weeks, I'm going to share something with you. I think it's September 10th, and it's an outreach event for our whole church. And it's a Christmas outreach event, and I'll share it with you then. But the overriding factor in the whole thing has got to be kindness. And so with every event we do, we have kids camp coming, we have youth camp, we have picnics, things like that, barbecues. It's all about kindness. It's all about kindness. So kindness looks like Christ. And it's not for just a season. It's not for just one day of the year. Kindness is for every moment of every day. It's a habit. It's a lifestyle. It's a continual practice. It is intentional. It's a giving of ourselves in the busy, even when we are too tired. And lastly, as we saw in the film, kindness is for absolutely everyone. Now, just like you, I mentioned LGBTQ earlier, and I'm just going to be straight up honest with you guys. I struggle with that, personally, that lifestyle. But I need to tell you, if people can be kind to me, when I didn't look anything like them or act anything like them, I need to do the same. I need to be kind. I need to care about people as human beings, because we all are. And we've all got our stuff. We've all got our stuff. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means every single one of us. Every day we face it. I'm not saying you're sinning every day, but what I am saying is we're all sinners. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you're saved by His grace. And that's an awesome thing. And that grace we need to extend to everyone. Everyone. Just say that with me, would you? Everyone. Everyone. Okay. I'd like you all to stand, if you would, please. Now, this message and even preparing it was hitting me square between the eyes and in the heart. And because I fail at this. I don't want to, but I do. And if you would like to be the kind of person that is kind, and you want to make a difference out of kindness, I'm not going to have everybody bow your head. I just want you to raise your hand right where you are. You want to be kind. Yeah. No pressure. If you don't want to be kind, well, there used to be a song called Cruel to Be Kind. I don't think that applies here. If you did raise your hand and you feel that way, I'd like us all to come down front to this morning. Just for a few minutes. Just step out of where you are. Just come on down front. I'm not going to make you do anything. I just want us all to come down with a show of unity. And we're going to sing a song together. I know, you didn't plan on getting out of your seat today. But I want to reiterate to everybody, it's going to be through kindness that this church makes a difference. And it's not that easy, because it's times when we're angry, it's times when we're tired, those kinds of times. And you can come down a little farther. I know some people are kind of hanging out in the middle there. It's kindness that's going to make the difference. And you know, sometimes I might do something that upsets you, or someone else might do something that upsets you. I don't want to do that. I don't want to try to do that. And I don't think you want to try to do that either. We're just all human beings. We have the human condition. We're all in it together. Fortunately, Jesus Christ has died for us, and so we can have hope. But be kind. Be kind. So I'm going to pray with you, and then we're going to all sing this song together, just from right where we are, and then Pastor Ben's going to dismiss us. Lord, we just want to come before you, and we're just people. All of us have been different places. We've all got a story. I'm always amazed at people I've known for a little while, and then I'll hear their story, and I'm like, what in the world? Really? And that's awesome, because you have taken each one of us with our stories and turned those stories around, and so that you've caused them to be something good. And so, Lord, may we be people that extend that kindness that you have shown us. Because it was through your kindness that we were able to see you and be able to see that we need a Savior. Help us to be those people, Lord God. Help us to be kind and to step out from where we are to be kind to somebody else, because every single one of us can do that. We don't all have the same abilities, but we can all be kind. So, Lord, want to pray that. Want to pray that in my life. Want to pray that for every person within the sound of my voice, Lord God. And that our church will be known kind through it all. Through it all. Through whatever we do. Through whatever ministries we have. It will be thought of as kind because we're people that care. So, Lord, be with each one of us, oh God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If this sounds really interesting to you, but you feel like, wow, I don't know this Jesus personally, then I just want to say to you, if you are thinking that, that means God is being kind to you, and he's revealing himself to you. And tell somebody, ask somebody about Jesus that's in here. You can ask me, you can ask anybody on the worship team, you can ask anybody around here, they'll tell you. Or you can go back to that New to Faith station back there, and I think Pastor Ben is going to mention that. So we're going to sing one more song, everybody. Stay right where you're at. And we're going to sing this in unity. It's one we've done quite a few times. This is our God. Go for it, Mike. Thank you.